Hello, it's Louise Wiles here, and I'm really thrilled to be back with the new series of the Thriving Abroad Expat Podcast. I took a few weeks off over the summer, but I am back with a great lineup of interviews for you. The aim of the Thriving Abroad Expat Podcast is to share the experience and perspectives of employees and expats who make international moves, and also the organisations that support those moves. Our aim is to inspire learning through our conversations. Now, I'm recording this interview on the 21st of September 2017, and today we're going to be focusing on mental well-being. You know, international relocation is a frenetic, exciting, challenging, but sometimes quite scary and overwhelming experience. Every aspect of our life is changed by our international moves, and we're required to step out of our comfort zones more than ever we would have to do had we stayed home. And while the potential benefits are many, and I'm sure we can all list those quite readily, the change and adjustment and simply coping day to day can at times be challenging. And it's really important that we take time to focus on our mental well-being and to protect against stress and overwhelm and potential burnout. And I was reminded of the importance of this the other day when I read a report of some research conducted in the UK by a company called Talking Talent. This research found that 71% of the workers surveyed had experienced burnout once in their lifetime. And I was really surprised to read that. And what also perhaps didn't surprise me so much, but is really relevant though, was that those who were either working parents or senior managers were more likely to experience burnout. And so for me, this underlies the real importance of taking time to look after ourselves through the relocation experience. And so to discuss this topic and to share some tips and advice, I'm really delighted to welcome Tammy and Kelly from Therapy Solutions Abroad. We're going to talk about mental well-being, we're going to talk about the challenges to mental well-being, and they're going to offer some great ideas and potential solutions and support. I'm delighted to welcome to our interview today Tammy and Kelly from Therapy Solutions Abroad. Kelly and Tammy are the co-founders of Therapy Solutions Abroad. They're mental health therapists who provide distant counselling services to English-speaking expats with the hope of making professional mental health care more accessible to global movers. Kelly has a PhD in counselling from the George Washington University. She specialises in the treatment of trauma and works with diverse populations who have a range of difficulties from adjustment issues to more severe disorders. Tammy has a doctorate in psychology, in clinical psychology, from the Minnesota School of Professional Psychology. She specialises in clinical assessment and cognitive behavioural work with individuals and families who struggle with various problems while living abroad. So hello, Kelly and Tammy. Very warm welcome to the Thriving Abroad podcast.
Thank you so much for having us. We're great. We're excited to be here.
Oh, it's lovely that you're joining me today. So let's just start with, I know everyone always likes to know a little bit of background to the people I'm talking to. So can you just tell me a little bit about how you've experienced your global life so far?
Oh my goodness. So we put names with voices since there's three of us. I'm Tammy. And I have to say that global life has been a big adjustment which has quite a learning curve to it. For me, it's mostly been positive. I think the experience has had a lot to do with my expectations, where I haven't always had a realistic understanding, but I have learned along the way what is going to happen or is happening in global moving. And that's been super helpful in having a positive experience away from home.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kelly. And I have to echo what Tammy is talking about. It's a big adjustment overall. You have a certain expectation when you leave your home country. You have a lot of excitement about what's going to happen and what your life is going to be like abroad. And for the most part, it can be very positive when you move. And it was for me, but there were definitely some low points, which I think is very natural to go through. Tammy and I were kind of thinking about kind of our highs and lows when we moved overseas. And I think for me, one of my high points is seeing how my children are getting on with other international children. We don't have to teach them from a book about diversity. They are making friends from multiple different cultures, and I'm making friends with people who I might not otherwise have had an opportunity to do so in my home country. So that's been a huge positive experience. I don't know, Tammy, what about you? What's one of your high points?
I don't think I can pick out a singular high point, to be honest with you. Moving overseas has been quite, it's really been more of a journey, I think, as far as I'm concerned. When I look back, I would definitely have to echo what you said. My children's experience in international life and developing that sort of international perspective where they're more accepting and understanding of diversity, and they are enjoying all of the experiences that they are getting overseas they wouldn't have gotten being back in the U.S. is fantastic. For me, being in Europe's been fantastic because of the history that I've been able to see and experience in real life that I would not have been able to. And of course, another great high point is I met Kelly and we started this practice, which is what led us here today. So that's definitely a big high point.
Fantastic. Yes. And I think you probably reiterate what a lot of expats say, you know, that they wouldn't change the experience because the experience is obviously often so enriching. But it does come with some challenges along the way. And those challenges will vary throughout the experience. And I think initially, often they are linked to expectations and how you manage the start. So, yeah, that's great to hear you highlight those points. And I can certainly relate to the children and the diversity and the experience from their perspective. My daughter was only saying yesterday, she's 14, we're back in the UK now, and she was just saying, I'm so glad I spent the first 11 years of my life in Portugal because it's given me a perspective and, you know, an outlook that I just notice people at school sometimes don't have. So yeah, she's in a UK system school as well, so it's there is some diversity there, but not, you know, like an international school. So yes, fantastic. So today, as I said in the introduction, we're going to talk about mental well health and well-being, I think we should put it that way. But often I think through the relocation experience, we can face some challenges in that respect, often that relate to the sense of stress and overwhelm. Certainly I can think of times when I have felt totally overwhelmed by the whole experience. I think often in relation to children too, while we can see the benefits for them, if our children aren't settling well initially, that can be challenging and hugely stressful for parents. There's nothing worse than, you know, watching your children struggle. So I want to talk a little bit with you about sort of mental well-being, stress, anxiety, and ask first of all, so when you're working with expats, what do you find contributes to that sense of stress and anxiety? And I've just given you one of my insights there as well. So what do you find?
Yeah, I think there are several things that can contribute to stress and anxiety. And I think what Tammy and I really wanted to be very clear about is that that's a very natural experience. To feel distress and to feel like you're under some amount of pressure from having such a huge move and having to acclimate or acculturate or get adjusted to your host country is, again, that's a normal experience. We don't want to pathologize that. But the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, this idea of culture shock, right? Most of the research points out that the bigger cultural distance there is from your home country to your host country, that it can become more problematic. Obviously, if you're learning a new language, if there are just completely different societal norms, if it's more difficult to make friends because of those barriers and increase your social networks, that's going to be a big source of stress. The other thing as well, you know, when Tammy and I were really brainstorming on some of these things before this interview is the idea of traditional roles, right, for spouses. where it's not the 1950s. you know, women are very competent, educated. We multitask. We do a lot of different things in our professional and social worlds. And sometimes we can be launched into a different role. We go from professional to stay-at-home spouse, whether it be for a male or a female. And that can be a huge, that can be a huge shock. And so for me personally, that was one of my low points. When I reached, when I came overseas, I had a 7-month-old and a 3-year-old. I was relieved in some respect that I get to spend more time with my children. However, I was used to working in the professional world. I had a professional identity. And all of a sudden, I'm, you know, picking up toys, talking child talk all day long, going to the park and spending most of my time with the double stroller. That can be it can be very difficult, can be isolating, having to grapple with being, like I said, socially isolating, but also have to manage a completely different role change. So those are some of those are a couple of things. So giving birth to children overseas is also another huge issue, and it can really affect your core identity. So this is when things start, when they start moving from a traditional, just kind of a stressful experience into feeling more and more pressured and feeling lost and alone. That's kind of can be some good sources of stress and anxiety. Tim, did I leave anything out? What would you say?
No, I think you did a very, very nice job in covering pretty much everything that we've been talking about. It's true. And I want to point out also that expat families actually, despite some of the financial stress, which is also normal that a lot of us do experience going overseas, it's very expensive, even if you're employer does cover whoever that is, your moving expenses, you still maybe have to pay for pets and cover all kinds of other things in moving. Maybe you need to buy new furniture, all sorts of things like that. And there's just a, that can make things a whole lot more difficult as well. Because of the changes in the dynamic between the people and the career choices that you're making within your relationship. So it's kind of all of these things compound on each other. And actually, expat families, despite that, are much more well-educated typically than your typical family. Most people have a bachelor's degree or a master's degree, and some people are higher. So that can be even more impactful on the family.
Yeah. I can relate to the sort of, I guess, the frustration, perhaps, yeah, in terms of relating to that identity issue, that role change and challenge. And I think that's a really important point that, and not just for the partner, for the employee or assignee as well, you know, the work roles changed, but also the dynamics in the family. If you've both been perhaps working and contributing financially, before relocating, then suddenly, yeah, one is perhaps a stay-at-home supporter from home, but the other becomes the sole income provider as well. So that's an added stress, perhaps, and yeah. Responsibility, and that can shift the dynamics of the relationship. It's something that people really need to, I think, to address and think through carefully before relocating. Yeah. So quite a number of ways in which we can become more. I hesitate to use words stressed, but perhaps overwhelmed by the experience. I guess also it's a change, the whole process of change, isn't it? It's a professional, personal, family change. Our entire lives change, so that, you know, there's a lot to assimilate in that way too. So, you know, people are often attracted to international assignments because they see it as a great opportunity. And as I just said, it involves a massive personal professional change, and that can be challenging. So when does tough, in your view, become problematic and stress unhealthy? You know, how do you know when you're headed for trouble and it's perhaps becoming too much?
Mm-hmm. What a great question to ask. So first of all, stress is different for everybody, right? We feel things different. We have a different threshold for what is difficult for us and what that looks like. So it can be a little difficult to gauge, but there are some clear warning signs of problems to watch out for. But let's back up just a little bit before we get into what happens when you move and what becomes problematic then. And let's go before that, because what we know is that a lot of the problems start in adjustment overseas begin at home before people even move to a new place. So setting realistic expectations of what you're stepping into, it can be difficult because you likely have never been where you're going. And a lot of us think ahead of time, this is going to be a magical, fun experience. It's going to be new. It's going to be exciting. We're going to get to experience all these new things. Maybe our kids will become bilingual. We're going to have so much fun. There's going to be an embassy experience if you're in the Foreign Service. And all of these things, we kind of paint this picture of this lofty, great experience. But in fact, like we've already sort of touched on, for some expats, and especially for expat spouses, it can include a lot of disappointment as the process moves forward, because you have loss of career options, like we talked about, and the potential to meaningfully work in another place is not always where it should be. You know, you move to another place where they speak a different language from you, and you're not even able to work as a barista in the Starbucks because you can't fill somebody's coffee order if you can't speak Portuguese or Swedish or whatever language it is that you're moving into. So it creates this great big problems. And like Kelly already touched on, then expat families tend to get forced into more traditional models because of this. And that doesn't vary based on career paths. So then these things sort of compound as time moves on to become problematic.
Yeah, I think some of the feelings that can kind of spiral out of control is you start with a general feeling of distress, right, and pressure or general anxiety. And then when that starts to become a problem is when it starts to impact different areas of your life. So all of a sudden you're not sleeping very well, or it's hard to get to sleep. All of a sudden, you know, even if you're a traditional introvert, you're becoming more withdrawn. You find yourself not wanting to FaceTime with family at home or friends. You start pulling away from your partner, or you get angry with them because they put you, quote unquote, in that situation. Start to feel some loneliness, and then you start to feel really helpless. And the helplessness can become more and more present. And again, it's that social isolation that's a problem. It's any loss of sleep or physical changes that's an issue. And perhaps there's a significant amount of change in the family dynamic. Perhaps you're developing relationship problems. It's when all of these things start to impact various areas of your life, not just one or two. That's when I would say that you're really looking at, okay, maybe I'm having a bit of a crisis here. Maybe I need to increase my support. Maybe I need to really look at kind of what's happening for me. Mm-hmm. So that's really the main thing. Some people also explain it as feeling foggy, kind of feeling not in touch with what's going on, feeling a sense of apathy. It's not always just sadness or frustration. It can be kind of a lack of feeling. So those things can happen as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can personally relate to that feeling of fogginess and apathy. When we relocated back to the UK, you know, repatriation, I thought going home will be the easiest transition, and actually ended up being the worst. And I remember the month of November, the year we came home, was a very foggy month for exactly that. And I, you know, working in the field I do, I thought I was immune, but you know, everyone can, yeah, it can happen to everyone. And I totally relate to the not pulling away and not actually wanting to get out and do what you really need to be doing, which is to build those social connections and build that life in your new environment. So that all of those things can happen. What can you do to sort of help? And I suppose let's talk about the help that you can look for outside of yourself initially, and then we'll talk a bit about self-help as well. But, you know, thinking about employers, for example, you know, what more can they do to support families who are relocating to help them through this transition period?
And what about, you know, colleagues at work and other family members?
So let's start with employers. The number one thing, I'm going to go back to the previous question a little bit, that employers can do is to provide relocation support up front and ahead of time. The more you can get ahead of something before it becomes a problem, the better off everybody's going to be. So the more prepared everybody is, the more information they have. And this is not just for the individuals who are being assigned to work overseas. This is for their spouses, their families, and their children, if they're of the age where you can start talking about what's going to be going on. They need information on the country that they're going to be moving in to. They need information on the culture, on the language. They need to have some specialized training, career goal support, specifically tailored to the spouse, if that's a possibility, so that they can have success with their expat experience. Because what we know is that a lot of the success of the overseas life for expats depends on the whole family. It's not just on making money and having a good time in a foreign country. It's on how stable can you keep that family system, and specifically how much can you support the spouse and how much can you provide to them at the forefront.
Yeah, so that's the good news in terms of some very concrete things that employers can provide families. Training and access to social support, access and opportunity for socializing with both individuals who are from your home country, but individuals who live in the host country. And of course, every country kind of is different in terms of those dynamics. But that's really important. So if you're an extrovert, you're going to have probably a little bit more natural tendency towards making those connections. If you're an introvert, it might be a bit more challenge for you. But in terms of your family members, you know, again, what Tammy was talking about in even getting ready for the move, it's building time to social, you know, for social interaction with friends you already have, trusted friends and family, setting up FaceTime weekly, doing WhatsApp groups, perhaps, with best friends. All of these things will really help. And that's where technology has really helped us. In that regard, if there's one or two things we can tell people, it's really to challenge them to increase their social networking to prevent the isolation. I think that's really important.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think there's a lot organizations can do to support that process, you know, in particular one, you know, finding mentors in the host location who can provide those initial connections, which is such a simple thing to do. And I think organizations often think they don't need to because the expat will initiate it, but it's quite a difficult thing to ask for help in those kind of situations where, you know, you don't know perhaps the language and don't understand the culture initially. So a little bit of a helping hand there would really make a difference, I feel, quite often. And yeah, and not to underestimate the importance of social, you know, building that social network as quickly as possible. That's not to say that you're going to make the best, you know, best mates straight away. And that's another, you know, so setting expectations there in my experience, that can take time. So important to be aware of that. But focus on the social.
We as expats tend to have a little bit more fluid sense of what a social network is, too, because especially if you move around a lot, you're not expecting to make a lifelong bestie, if you will, you know, at every post you go to or every country you move to. But just getting out there and getting to know other people and being in that environment is so much more helpful than I think people give it credit for.
Yeah.
And I also want to speak to a little bit of what you mentioned, which I think is important, this idea of not wanting to ask for help. I think some of us from countries who really idealize this huge sense of independence and I can do things on my own, I shouldn't have to ask for help, the ones that really focus on that, that can be difficult for us to immediately reach out for help, whether it be help to find where the best grocery stores are, or whether it's help to find a physician immediately for whatever reason. Sometimes that can be difficult for those of us who who come from cultures where that's highly valued. So it's different. It's hard to make a mind shift.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I can relate to that personally myself. And I think, and also actually one, going back to the organization and how organizations can help, I think often there is such a rush to get the assignee into role and working. Okay. And often it's a high pressure role where they're perhaps traveling as well. And the family just gets left to figure things out. And I really advocate for organizations to give a week or 2 weeks settling in time so that families can do it together and can establish their new routines and, you know, get to know the area and just some sort of build a home, I suppose, really. And a sense of home before the employee is then whisked off and barely seen. I think that can make a big difference. But I think there's so much pressure to get people up and running quickly that often just gets neglected completely. But worth the investment. Yeah.
Yeah, and the investment is very real. When companies really look at the financial gain versus loss, if you have what's quote unquote a failed expat experience, the company loses a significant amount of money.
Yeah.
So like you said, if there's even that first 7 days where the family can spend it together in a cohesive way to kind of navigate those very beginning things, you know, look at schools, have a look at the grocery stores, figure out how to walk to the train station, how to get the train card, those kind of things, that would be hugely helpful and financially beneficial in the long run for the company.
Yeah. Because what it really does is it underlines that sort of togetherness that's so important, you know, particularly for the relationship between the signee and, you know, and partner. You know, if they're going in different, you know, the sense of, you know, annoyance and frustration can quickly build when there's not a mutual sort of element of support there. And it's, yeah, it's great to get that sort of established initially, for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And actually, just thinking specifically about the employee, you know, as they start their new role, are there the things you would suggest that they think about in terms of the way in which they start that role and set kind of the boundaries around that role that will help them from a stress perspective, to have an easier life, less stressful one in their new work environment?
I really wish that companies honestly would do exactly what you're proposing. So wherever the petition is that I can sign on to give a week or two, you let me know, because that would be ideal. But what happens is exactly what you said, is we get moved overseas, we get dropped off the boat, the plane, the whatever it is, and we immediately get sent into our roles. Families go one way, the working spouse goes the other way, and we just all of a sudden are in these roles we have no idea how to deal with. Being stressed and overwhelmed is very, very normal, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I think for the employee, and I think you alluded to this a little earlier as well, we were talking about those role reversals and how it's also a huge stress for them. And I also want to be very clear here that women are in these roles as well. Mm-hmm. They are often the employee and they have a husband who is trailing, so to speak. That presents some role challenges. But for the employees specifically, any prep work that can be done with the company, maybe meeting a new manager via distance, setting up expectations, getting basic job descriptions, outlines, how their job will be different in the host country versus the home country, anything they can do straight away would be helpful. Also, Tammy and I are huge advocates of, you know, just, you know, having kind of a family group discussion, or at least with the spouses, right? Having a discussion of how, you know, how things might be different, what stresses that are new that they might be feeling and how that could look different within the family. Anything you can do to get ahead of that is a good thing. Remaining in constant conversation with the spouse. Mm-hmm. And gaining, again, in terms of the employee-employer relationship, getting those expectations of the new job role, job title, what to expect performance-wise is really crucial. So that way they're not kind of in the dark.
Yeah.
Land.
Yeah.
One thing I feel overwhelmed too is putting everything together kind of in a great big lump. Like, my job is difficult for me, or my new role is challenging, and now I can't sleep and I'm having trouble with, you know, talking to my husband or wife or whatever it is. So part of it at that point, when you get to that point, is probably figuring out, well, what specifically is it that's challenging for you and what can be done about that? Because there's a huge sort of relief just in naming what is going on and sort of figuring out how that's impacting your life. Is it a specific part of the job? Is it that your boss is difficult? What is it? And then how can you sort of take control of that issue? And what is there that can be done about that specific thing? And this is probably a good part of this conversation, I think, to mention that this is really a critical point, right? Where that if you find that you can't define the problem, if you find that what is overwhelming is everything, and you can't split that up, and you just are starting to really have problems, maybe you don't even want to get out of bed in the morning, these things start getting really difficult, then that's your answer. So that's the point when you really need to evaluate, what do I need to do about this? Because if you are at a point, and maybe it's somebody that's listening to this is at this point in their job and in their role overseas, where you maybe are really in a point of crisis. And if that's the case, then that's when you certainly need to reach out and talk to somebody about that. If you've got a local medical person, a doctor, a psychiatrist, a therapist, somebody in your community that's a professional, then this is the point in time where you definitely need to reach out and go to that person. If it's a primary care physician, if you're in foreign service and you're lucky enough to have an embassy medical facility or a nurse or somebody there, that's a great place to go as well.
Great, thank you. Yes, and I think it's really important that you ask for help. We were talking about asking for help earlier on, so
yeah.
And I think often, you know, the part that, you know, for assignees, you often feel, well, I've been moved because people think I'm capable and I can do it all, and I'm okay. Sure you will be capable and you can do it all, but sometimes you just need a little bit of help. So do, you know, reach out for help. That's so important. Great. Well, I think we've come to the end of at least 30 minutes. So time to draw the conversation to a close. I mean, asking for help is one recommendation for people if you're feeling a bit stressed. Is there anything they can do for themselves, that perhaps a couple of tips of what you can do for yourself to ease your transition in this respect?
Yes, this is the concrete part. What can I do, right? Yes, we always want to plan. And here's the good news. The good news is there really are concrete things. For example, we've been talking about this throughout. Set realistic expectations. Yes, like you mentioned, you can have it all, but you need it in not all at once. You have to take it in small doses. So set realistic expectations prior to your move, during your move, after you've moved, and check in every 6 months or so with your spouse, with your family, and see how things are shifting. The second thing I would say is increase the social support, however that looks to you. With trusted individuals at home, branch out a little bit in your home country, even if it's just grabbing a coffee with a few other expats. Again, if you're an introvert, this will be a challenge. But if you're an extrovert, go grab your introvert friend and take them to coffee. And then finally, you want to develop a plan to take care of yourself, right? And all of those people listening who put that huge value on independence and I can do it myself, you'll kind of shy away from this or maybe recoil. But it's really important that you go to that yoga class, even if it's in another language, or if you take a walk, or if you do some relaxation, you find time to read a good book. You do things that really keeps that stress at bay. And that might, those things, those self-care items might change, but you really need to work that in, even if it's 5 minutes a day. That's important.
It's important in overseas life and everywhere, no matter where you are in the world, to remember how important you are as a human and that you need care and love and respect as well. And it's all a part of that same thing. If you take care of yourself, you have the ability to take care of others and the ability to do all the things you need to do. If you're lacking in that, then you're not going to be able to give anything to anybody else.
Brilliant. I think there's some fantastic tips there. And so you talked about reaching out. So tell people a bit about you and how they can reach out to you.
Great. So we have co-founded, as you mentioned at the beginning, we co-founded Therapy Solutions Abroad. And the reason we did that is for all the reasons we've been talking about. We wanted to increase the accessibility to professional mental health care. We also wanted to be sure we're providing quality services to people through distance work, the online counseling through an encrypted service. Because depending on the country you're in, you might not have a lot of access due to the obvious reason that they're not English speaking, or just because of the medical system, they just don't have a lot of options when you're feeling like you really need some professional help or relationship work. So what Tammy and I do is we support individuals and their families who find themselves kind of anywhere in that process of just adjustment to really experiencing some more kind of clinical things, not sleeping, you know, feeling extremely overwhelmed. So you can contact us through our website at www.therapysolutionsabroad.com. You can even set up an initial free consultation with us just to see if how we can help you, see if it's appropriate for distance work, and see, make sure the laws and ethics are kosher with the country in which you're sitting, that we could do, that we could support you and see you for individual or family therapy. We could develop a plan to help get you feeling better. So that's really what we hope to do, is to really support fellow expats who are experiencing a variety of different difficulties. And one of the things we hear from clients who call us is, well, I don't know if my issues are really big enough. And they're very worried, again, about accessing help. And we're really here to listen to what's going on for you. And we can determine together if perhaps you, there's some support on the ground you can utilize, or if you need that extra level of professional support. And that's really why we're here, to help give you that option if you find your needing more assistance.
Brilliant. Lovely. Well, thank you for that overview. And I will put a link to your website on the show notes as well for this call. So it just leaves me with final task of thanking you both very much for joining me today and for the conversation. And I will be back again with a future podcast in 2 weeks' time. But meanwhile, if you would like to get in touch with us, then please do. Okay. Thanks very much, Tammy and Kelly.
Thank you.